Hello and welcome to Saxo's market call on September 11, 2020. We start with talking about the Nasdaq 100. It's almost a daily event now. It's where the volatility in the price action is situated in equities, and we had all the markings of a positive rebound story yesterday. The Nasdaq was pounding higher. It met a lot of resistance levels around some of the short-term moving averages and was rejected. There was just bad sentiment across the board. And we also had a Nikola story that we'll talk about in a few minutes. We came lower, but we didn't take out the lows from the day before. And here in early trading in Europe, we're actually a little bit higher here in the Nasdaq 100. It seems like this 11,000 is pretty crucial. That at least on the downside, if we get a breakdown on that. So that's definitely a level to have in mind. I don't know whether you have any comments, John, from a technical perspective, of what you saw yesterday in the Nasdaq 100.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to look at the cash index, both in the Nasdaq 100, but also the S&P 500, and noting that we closed right on those that low close from earlier this week. So I don't know. To me, it looks a little bit ominous that we closed right on that low, and if we break lower here, and especially if we close the week on a new low, arguably you're looking at a trend breakdown to some degree that we'll have to see how it follows through next week.
Yeah, I actually did put a piece out yesterday on analysis.saxo where I found the 40 times in history where the Nasdaq 100 had the same technical setup. And I know statistics is a fickle thing in the financial markets, but the setup is actually quite positive for a rebound. But let's see. I'll just quickly cover my two stories on equities before we go into talk about the 30-year auctions and what happened with the ECB. So I just want to highlight Peloton, this interactive home physical exercise software and hardware package. It's a little bit complicated company, if you ask me, what they actually sell. But they are really showing high growth rates. The shares were down in primary market, but up 10% in aftermarket. Very strong revenue outlook. I mean, they blasted the estimates, and I think this is a stock that is will likely do a breakout to the upside, a new all-time high. So I expect a lot of volume and trading action in Peloton today. So if you're a short-term trader, this is definitely one of the opportunities to watch today. And another opportunity is the Nikola. We flagged it to all our clients in pre-market yesterday. Hindenburg Research, as short seller, put out a report calling for fraud and deception around Nikola and its founder. You can see on slide 3, we have the price chart, but we also have the picture of the actual short seller report headline. The shares were down 11%. A lot of short sellers are coming in. I just want to highlight with that insert in the chart that we're talking about a company with a market value of $14 billion and very low revenue of only less than $300 million expected for 2022. So this is definitely one of the bubble and hype stocks out there. I think there will be a lot of action in this stock as well today.
Yeah, you also point out, Peter, did you say 2022 revenue? Meaning this company does not produce revenues now. And it's interesting, this came, 2 days after GM announced a $2 billion investment in the company. So obviously GM is a big marquee name. You would think they would have done some due diligence. So it's pretty curious to see the timing of this just 2 days after that. And you know, effectively, if this, we don't have necessarily the ability to judge these things, but if this research report is correct, this company's a zero, and it's trading with I can't remember now the market cap. Was it $20 billion or $40 billion?
Fourteen.
Yeah, it's been all over the place. It's been a lot higher after that spike earlier this year. But yeah, interesting, a very interesting story.
Yeah, and Altea, it's first time you on the podcast. You are our fixed income strategist. We had an ECB meeting yesterday, so maybe you can talk us through what happened in European fixed income, but also an important 30-year bond auction in the US.
Yes, Peter. So what we have seen yesterday following the ECB message that basically didn't take any further accommodative measures, we have seen the bond weakening slightly. And investors basically being turning a risk on. I think that this is a very risky environment, especially for the fixed income market to trade in. If we look at European sovereigns, they are all trading close to zero. And what worries me is that also the periphery now offers close to zero yields. We are talking about countries like Portugal and Spain offering around 30, 35 basis points, and Italy offering 100 basis points on the 10 years BTPs. It's obvious that a lot of investors are holding on these securities because they think that the ECB support will continue to be strong. But the reality is that whenever there is volatility, we see a sell-off in riskier assets. And we have seen that in March, especially like with Italian sovereigns. And I don't see the upside to hold near zero sovereigns while in the market that there is still uncertainties concerning the coronavirus. But looking at the US Treasury options, on Wednesday we had 10 years Treasury options, and yesterday we had 30 year Treasury options. What we have seen is that the yield curve has steepened slightly. Actually, yesterday, after the 30-year options, we have seen initially the yield curve steepening, and then by the end of the day, we have seen it flattening again. I was very shocked to see that because this means that investors are more concerned about treasury bond supply rather than inflation coming. And I think that today, with the CPI readings that we are going to have, there could even be a bad surprise for bondholders, because if we see CPI readings higher than expected, we can imagine the sell-off in treasuries and a bear steepener to continue its path.
All right. We'll definitely have to talk about that CPI later today, but that's for the calendar. John, on currencies, what do you say about yesterday with the ECB? That was we had a pretty significant jump in the in euro dollar, but there were also action in other crosses, also euro sterling. Can you take us through what's really happening? It seems like there's a little bit of a more lively action now in currency markets.
Yeah, well, it's all within the range, though, for Eurodollar. And the ECB sort of came out, as was largely confirmed in a Bloomberg story, according to ECB sources, that is, that they're a little bit more complacent in general on the outlook. The revisions to the forecast sounded quite nice. I was a bit surprised to see them looking for 5% growth in 2021. That's a big ask, I think. And then also the wording on the currency is sort of unwound that prior wording from Chief Economist Lane, who indicated right as Eurodollar is hitting 120 that they're concerned about the euro's strength feeding into the inflation outlook. So basically, you had a Eurodollar rally. But as I tweeted out during the Lagarde press conference yesterday, I'm a bit confused why we should all be scrambling to buy Eurodollar when at the same time in the background, you have the market panicking to price in the risks of a hard Brexit. I mean, we have this unbelievable exchange going on right now between the UK and Europe on the Brexit issue, with the UK moving to this potentially legislate and override some of the withdrawal agreement terms, the EU slapping down an ultimatum, a 3-week ultimatum yesterday, and saying they should cease and desist. And the UK says, no thanks, or basically rebuffed that move. So you have a big acceleration in sterling downside. I've put in euro sterling, so yes, euro upside, but that has a lot more to do with sterling downside. You see on slide 4, we've smashed way above the range that we established post the sort of COVID-19-linked train wreck in March. We've only closed above this level in euro sterling on a couple of occasions back during that panicky phase. And on slide 5, I show how options volatility for 3 months. So that would take us not even beyond the December 31st trade date. That is accelerating higher here, and this bears close watching. I mean, we could finally be talking about something that's really has implications here. If we are moving towards a hard Brexit, it really does appear the UK side does not want to back down, and I'm not sure where this heads. But I think maybe that played into Eurodollar yesterday. But the turn actually came more. Less on the sterling selling and more on simply the dollar reacting as a safe haven as U.S. equity markets rolled over. And I think that pattern is perhaps the dominant one. So if we are going to be lurching into a fresh sell-off in risky assets globally, I would expect the dollar to outperform the euro. 117.50 is a big area. You can see that on slide 6 or just pull up your euro dollar chart. And I'll be watching that closely. How we close today in terms of just the general risk sentiment.
All right. Ole, you have been passively sitting and waiting to join the conversation. so welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it has been a bad week for some commodities, especially energy on the weakened fundamentals. We have talked about it for a couple of days. What sort of your takeaway on the entire week as a whole? And what to expect?
Well, we most certainly seeing the first meaningful retracement correction in this bull run that we've seen in generally in commodities now since the low point back in March. This week, as you mentioned, yes, it is the weakness that we're seeing it finally coming into to the energy market. I'm saying finally because we've been talking about this for the past 2 months. Oil has been trading sideways while fundamentals has basically been showing signs of weakness, and that came to that basically played out this week. We broke below the 200-day moving average, 39.50 now, a double bottom in Brent. That's also around the 100-day moving average, so that's really the level to look out for today. But it is the fact we're seeing rising corona cases around the world, and the impact it's having on the growth in demand, which is obviously happening at a time where OPEC Plus is increasing production. So we are probably going to see the market remaining under some pressure here in the near term. I think the risk is probably down to something like 37.5 initially if we should see some additional weakness into the weekend. But I think probably the story today the main story today is the crops, because we got the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. WASDE coming out later today from the United States Department of Agriculture. And we have seen this for a reasonably strong rally now. I'm referring to this on slide 9. We can see that corn has been on a bit of a tear now for the past few weeks. Soybeans, I think, has done even better, and that rally needs to be confirmed by fundamentals, and that's what the report provides today. We are going to look at something like production levels estimates and stock levels where they're going to be, and the two driving forces are obviously very very strong demand from China, but also weather upsets in the US, which has lowered the production estimates, and ending stocks are coming down because China is buying more. So we really need to see confirmation of that these numbers are as a price supported as they have been. We have to remember, I'll put that into slide 9 as well, we have quite a significant long building up in the key crops, and that's counter seasonal. So everything is poised ahead of this report. So I think that's probably the key today. On gold, nothing really to say. We are still mid-range. We had a failed attempt to the upside yesterday, but it's still stuck here in a relatively wide range.
But gold, I guess, could come into to action if we get a significant surprise in the CPI figure. But we'll talk about the CPI in a few seconds. Ole, you have also put in platinum. It's the best performing commodity of the ones you're following. It's on slide 10. So, what's really going on? You say supply deficits is causing.
Yeah. Exactly, Peter. As I showed on slide 8, it's a rare top performer on the week. It's up more than 3%, and platinum has obviously continued to be in the shade, in gold shade. When market moves, investors prefer gold. But this week we had the quarterly report out from the World Platinum Investment Council, and they have reversed an expected supply the surplus this year to a deficit, basically because we got COVID-19 disruption to South Africa, which is the world's biggest producer of platinum. And we also have seen, they've also seen increased investment demand. And I'm just putting these charts up on slide 10 because platinum is currently trading $1,000, more than $1,000 below gold. It used to trade at a premium five plus years ago. And I'm just looking at this 1,040 level. So if we should see renewed strength in gold, and with that also platinum moving higher, I think there is a potential chance for platinum to do some outperformance because it is so relatively cheap to gold, and because of the underlying fundamentals have started to add some support to the market.
All right, we're running short of time here. I just want to quickly the attention to slide 7, just The continuous initial jobless claim, which is one of the best weekly indicators in the U.S. economy, disappointed yesterday. On the other hand, we had, a positive surprise in the consumer comfort index from Bloomberg. So a little bit divergent signals there. But John, I want to bring you into the conversation because we're moving to the calendar and some interesting figures today, I think, with the August U.S. CPI figure, because it had ramifications for gold and fixed income markets.
Yeah, I mean, we have this narrative that that we have a situation in the U.S. where we're worried about negative real rates and U.S. inflation rising, and of course that's been repriced to the yield curve having collapsed. So the negative real rate situation is rather new with the COVID-19 outbreak, where it's been more chronic in the case of Europe and its negative policy rate. So, you know, do we see another elevated U.S. Inflation reading and that contrast with that record low CPI reading we just saw out of Europe. So the expectations for today are, 0.3% month-on-month for the headline and 1.2% year-on-year for the headline. But then the core came out at 1.6% in July. It's expected unchanged. But if we miss badly on that, the downside, I think it's quite interesting because then, that negative real rate situation is not being sort of verified in these latest numbers. So I think both a downside and an upside miss, if it's dramatic, could be interesting, whereas inline data doesn't really change the equation. And then I think the dollar just defaults to tracking, the ups and downs and risk sentiment if those prove rather marked today after yesterday's interesting session.
John, I would like just to add that CPI numbers are going to be very important for fixed income traders, especially for those that have some investments in the corporate bond market. In this week, we have seen $65 billion in new deals in the investment grade corporate bond market coming, testing the market, and they were quite welcomed. Yields were very low. We are talking about, around 1% in yield for securities up to 10 years. If the CPI number comes out stronger than expected, basically investors will find themselves in a mice trap. For the simple reason that one can always say, well, if there is volatility, I'm going to hold on the bond, it's going to lose value, but a maturity is going to pay me par, and in the meantime, I get a coupon. But with the CPI, basically, numbers stronger and inflation going up, basically all the benefits to hold on fixed income instrument is going to be eroded.
All right. We have a big calendar for next week. We'll talk about that on Monday because Monday is very light. So I think we'll skip that one for after the weekend. And I just want to say thank you for listening out there and stay safe going into the weekend. Thank you for listening.